I think that just as we're living in a nuclear age, we have grown so tremendously in scientific knowledge, it doesn't seem too much to say that men can begin to awaken to the fact that they haven't grown enough spiritually and haven't recognized their spiritual capacities.
Once something like eating is death, then you've struck at the very heart of life. The enemy of the older radical theories may have been the ruling class, but today the stakes of whether we will reform ourselves into a new kind of human being, a new kind of society, whether we will find selves worth being, the stakes of it are simply life itself.
We're excited to announce a special event coming up with Chris Cutrone, one of the founders of the Platypus Society and the author of The Death of the Millennial Left, published last year by Sublation Media, as well as his new book, Marxism and Politics, also published by Sublation. Chris will be with us live on Monday, April 22nd at 7 p.m. U.S. Central Time for a talk and a Q&A on the 1848 revolutions, their impact on Marx, and their significance for our times. You can find links to our Eventbrite page and the Morin Academy Patreon in the links below. Either avenue will get you into the live event at which you can pepper Chris with questions. So I thought it would be a good idea to have you on briefly to give people an idea of what this event will be about. So can you tell us just a bit about what you'll be talking about and why it's important for people to know about the 1848 revolutions?
Right. So definitely the revolutions of 1848, they were known as the Spring of the Nations. That's where we get that phrase, the Arab Spring, from. Are kind of obscure history to Americans because we didn't have anything really comparable to that. We had the Mexican-American War. And our crisis came later with the Civil War. But even in Europe, where these revolutions took place, in France and Germany, it's still obscure history for people. So it tends to be forgotten history, and yet was a kind of formative moment for Marxism and for the modern socialist movement. And so, that's where the topic comes from. And that's where its importance in terms of the way I understand modern capitalism and the politics of modern capitalism. A lot of not only Marx and other socialists, but generally speaking, people in the 19th century did think that these were significant events that told us a lot about the modern world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you had to tell somebody who isn't a, you know, I guess Spencer would call him a Marx bro or whatever, somebody who's not super Marx, why knowing about these revolutions are still important, what would you say to that?
That in certain key respects, it's the birth of the modern state and modern politics.
Mm-hmm.
So prior to 1848, when looking at things like the American and the French revolutions, they do have an antiquated character that when we get into the revolutions of 1848 and what happened and their outcome, that it starts to look much more like the recognizably modern world in ways that are surprising, because there were a lot of developments in the mid-19th century that we tend to associate with the 20th century, when we tend to think that these are new in the 20th century, but actually they're new from the middle of the 19th century.
Mm.
Right, the welfare state, for example, we tend to think of as like a 1930s Great Depression era phenomenon. No, actually it has its birth in 1848. Modern political parties so have a complex history, but modern political parties definitely have a formative moment around 1848. So there were political parties before that, but they again look somewhat different. The political parties that we're used to really are a phenomenon of the middle of the 19th century. And especially around 1848, the role of political parties and mass politics, which again, we might think of like the American and French revolutions being mass political in character, but actually in a way that still is a little bit distant from us, a little bit foreign from our reality today, in a way that the 1848 revolutions and their aftermath is the birth of mass politics that's more recognizable in our terms.
You've got the development of the Industrial Revolution is in full flower at that point. And so you've got people reacting to that, right?
That's right. So, I mean, from a Marxist perspective, although also in a broader, you know, perspective, the results of the Industrial Revolution are really most clearly demonstrated in the crisis of the 1840s, what leads up to the revolutions of 1848, but also the contours of the political events of 1848. And so, you know, a kind of more modern, proletarianized society, again, the effect in the political realm is that you have the presence of a kind of mass political force in the modern working class that isn't present in quite the same way in earlier events such as the American and French revolutions. Not to say the working class isn't present in those revolutions too, but not in quite the same way, not with the same kind of mass character.
Interesting. So people are beginning to feel their the mass power in a way that even more significantly than the French Revolution.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, the question in the 19th century, it's what people call the social question. So the social question is really what's informing the revolutions of 1848, and the social question referred to the new social conditions of industrial society.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, again, there are some inklings of this prior to that. So in England, you have the Chartist movement. That's in this respect, the first like mass working class social and political movement. But England's ahead of the curve. So in some ways, England manifested the crisis a little bit earlier than continental Europe did, and in slightly different ways, you know, the effects of the Industrial Revolution in the political sphere. So that, you know, may be a much more straightforward way of thinking about it, universal suffrage, meaning universal male suffrage, at least, without a property requirement. That's something that is first implemented in the revolutions of 1848.
Okay.
So that's the first time that you get that in a way that that was a demand of the Chartist movement in England earlier.
Okay. And right? Then you'll be talking about Marx's response to this too, right? Like, how did he take it? It's my understanding that he originally thought this was a great, like, this was it. This was the beginning of revolutionary change. And then not so much later on. Am I right about that? That he kind of lost?
That's right. Marx and Engels wrote the Communist Manifesto on the eve of the 1848 revolution. So when it looked rather obvious that revolution was about to break out in Europe, Marx and Engels wrote the Communist Manifesto.
Right.
And it was published literally weeks before, like just a few weeks before the revolution broke out in France in 1848. Yeah, and so they thought this democratic revolution that could be seen on the horizon was going to bring about communism. Turned out it was more complicated than that. And that's actually one of the only major changes in Marx's political thinking occurred as a result of his experience of the revolutions of 1848 in France and in Germany. In Germany, Marx and Engels participated. They weren't direct participants. They're more onlookers for the French Revolution of 1848. But in Germany, they're active participants. And coming out of both experiences, the experience of both the French and German revolutions of 1848-49, that's where they develop their idea of the dictatorship of the proletariat. They develop several key ideas, the Bonapartism and the Bonapartism of the capitalist state, right? The new role for the state in society and the modern politics of the state in capitalism, in a way that was not clear to them or really clear to anyone before the revolutions of 1848.
Mm-hmm. So these events are really important for understanding Marx. And also, I think, like your comments point out, when people just focus on the manifesto, they're getting kind of a distorted view. And I don't even know why people do that, but that is a thing that I've certainly
They get a kind of general view. They get a general view. And, you know, the manifesto is great. The manifesto is good. It paints a picture of history and society. It doesn't give us a detailed view of politics. And it's really Marx's writings around the revolutions of 1848 that crystallize his political perspective and kind of give us classic articulations of Marx's politics.
Cool. Yeah, this is going to be really interesting. I don't want to give too much away. We want people to come to the talk, to see you live and to be able to ask questions. But is there anything else that you want to say about your talk?
Okay, so I was just going to add that in the cultural sphere, a lot of what we associate with literary and artistic modernism also has its birth in 1848.
Okay.
So figures like Charles Baudelaire, you know, the kind of the sensibility that we associate with modernism really has its formative moment around this time as well, and is really propelled by the events of the time. So I just wanted to say, you know, there are economic things going on. There are political things going on, but there are also cultural things going on.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to try to paint a you know, broad picture of that. In terms of these books from Sublation Press that you mentioned when introducing me, so last year I published the first of really two companion volumes. So the first is The Death of the Millennial Left, and it's a little bit under 300 pages. And it's a kind of a discussion of the history of the millennial left through the kind of political events that took place in the last, you know, 17 or 18 years. Mm-hmm. The second volume that's just coming out now, Marxism and Politics, is over 700 pages.
Whoa.
And it is my more historical and theoretical writings.
Okay.
Rather than my kind of commentary on current events.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more the sort of deep dive into the history of and theory of Marxism. And so it's a great deal longer, and but also has a, you know, a great deal of substance to it. And it's there that I you know, talk about things like the 1848 revolutions and their impact on the modern world, more generally the socialist movement and Marxism.
Oh, that's excellent news. And you know, like, you're going to have to give Spencer and I some time to absorb that. We interviewed you about the first book. That was a little bit shorter. So you got to give us some time, but we want to have you back to talk about this one too. And we've kind of been waiting for this book for a while. So congratulations on that. I mean, that's a labor of love, 700 pages, and, you know,
yes.
Yeah, wonderful news. So congratulations mm-hmm. on that. And I'll put a link to Sublation Media so people can check that out. It's pre-order right now, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Chris. And we're really looking forward to April 22nd for your talk, and best wishes.
Fun.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.